again, last week, we're doing, you know, 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and since we didn't have Wednesday nights 2 weeks in a row, it gives me the opportunity to talk about something besides 1 Corinthians for 2 weeks in a row. And last week, we talked about the importance of 2020 vision, right? It is 2020, and how important that is, and that we can sometimes miss out on opportunities if we're not looking for them. So I want to continue that idea of being able to see, but to see with eternal eyes. So there's a blind man who walks into a store with his seeing eye dog. So he walks into the store. He gets into the front part of the store. He picks the dog up with the leash and starts just swinging the dog around and around. And the manager comes running over and goes, "What, sir, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, it's okay. I'm just looking around. Just kind of looking around." Why do blind people not like to skydive? Scares the dog to death, right? Dogs don't like that. Now, I'm not making fun of blind people. I'm actually kind of putting a little emphasis on the seeing eye dog. You know, seeing eye dogs are pretty amazing. If they're trained correctly, they can actually be the eyes to the one who's blind. And, you know, when you think about it, that's exactly what God is doing for us at times, is helping us to see more clearly when we're blinded. You know, the title of my lesson this morning is, "What Did They See When They Were Blind?" It's interesting that there's some figures in the scriptures who were able to see, who were blinded, and those folks who were blinded, and then suddenly they were able to see. And that's, of course, on a physical level. But Samson comes to mind first of all. You know, Samson in Judges chapter 20, verse 16, probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Samson had his hair cut at this moment. Delilah had tricked him, deceived him. Samson awoke from his sleep and said, "I'll go out as at other times and I'll shake myself free." And here's the sad part. And he did not know that the Lord had left him. Didn't realize that he had lost his ability to fight back when his hair was cut. Missed out on all that. So the Philistines come in and they take Samson and they bind him and they imprison him. And if you remember what they did? They gouged his eyes out. And so in the process of Samson not only growing his hair back, but in the process of him being blind, he repents. He asks God to be able to judge the Philistines, to get some revenge, so to speak. So what did he see when he was blind? What did he understand that he didn't understand when he could actually see with his eyes? The second person that comes to mind is Saul. If you remember, Saul had this incredible vision for God. I mean, he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. I mean, he was a religious guy. And when the Christians show up and when Jesus suddenly does his thing, he's adamant, he's angry, and he thinks that they're against Judaism and that they're against God himself. And so Saul becomes a judge, does he not? He gets documents to persecute and take Christians to jail and to cause problems for Christians. He's at the feet, holding, you know, when Stephen is stoned, he's got the clothes, the cloaks, the garments of the men who actually kill Stephen. So he's there on that day. And we read about Saul again when he's on the road to Damascus, and a bright light hits Saul. And Saul is blinded. And it's during that blind time that suddenly he sees. What did he see when he was blind? Then you have a centurion servant, right? Well, centurion guard, not a servant. Centurion guard who's at the feet of Jesus on the cross. And he's at the feet of Jesus, and he's seeing what's taking place. He's hearing the words of Jesus. He understands the people's heart for Christ. They see the pain, the suffering, the struggle. He makes a statement, "Truly this was the Son of God." But he makes the statement after the earthquake. Now, I don't think he knew that the temple of the curtain was torn in two, but there were 3 hours of darkness from noon to three. What did he see in the darkness? What did he see when he was blind? You think about that for a minute. There's a lot of references in Scripture. We see a lot of miracles of Christ when he heals blind people. John chapter 9, the entire chapter, is about a man who was born blind, but during the fact that Jesus heals him so he can see, he not only sees with his eyes, but suddenly starts to see with his heart as well. You know, what did he see when he was blind? What did he understand when he was blind? What do we see in our blindness that creates the light that we have now? It's such an incredible thought when you think about it. Why does darkness affect us the way it does? I mean, we walk into the room, what do we look for? Find the light switch. I mean, I love when light switches aren't in the right places. You know, you walk into a room and the door opens this way, you think the light switch is that way, and you walk in and it's kind of dark, and you're like, where's the light switch? You know, like, oh, it's behind the door. Who puts a light switch there? You know, we're attracted to the light, right? We like that light. Children sleep with their eyes closed in total darkness. All of us do. But some people like to have a nightlight. They have a little light going on. Street lights, we feel safe and protected. We used to always play hide-and-go-seek with the teenagers. We don't get to do that very often here, even, because there's always a safety light on. In the old building where we were in Sweetwater, Texas, that building was so old and decrepit, and it was dark. It was scary. And we would play hide-and-go-seek on Saturday nights. We'd have these smorgs. We call them smorgs. And the teenagers loved to play hide-and-go-seek, and we played a game called Killer in the Dark. You know, it's a great game in the church. And so I would be the killer, and they would all go hide, and I would come into the room in total darkness. And when the kids would play, it was interesting, because you could be hiding or you'd be in the dark, and they would walk into a room and go, you know, they'd hit the light just enough to kind of get an idea of who was in the room. Or they started cheating. You know, they'd get their cell phone out and, you know, kind of look around with their lights. They would never walk around in total darkness. I would, because, you know, I was the bad guy. And I used to love going into the dark rooms, and it'd be quiet, and I would listen carefully, and they'd go, are you still there? You know, Jeremy, are you still hiding with me? Yes, I'm still there. You know, and they would be whispering and not knowing I was in the room. And I would always do the Michael Myers thing. I'd go, cha-cha. And they'd come running out. You know, they didn't like that. But there's an attraction to the light and a fear of the darkness. And I got to go Bug's Life. I love the scene from Bug's Life. You know, it's this. No, Harry, no. Don't look at the light, right? It's a bug zapper. I can't help it. It's so beautiful. And then, you know, he's gone forever. We have an attraction to the light. Physically, we have an attraction to the light. Yet spiritually, isn't it interesting that there's so many people who have an attraction to darkness? Have you ever thought about that? Physically, we love the light. Spiritually, there's times when we don't want anything to do with the light. There's times when I talk with my friends and I'm like, so why are you so afraid of the light? Why are you so afraid to see, you know, what's going on in your life? It's just interesting to me. How do we see when we're blind? There are three ways, I'm thinking. This is me. There's three ways that we, while living, can still attain darkness. Number one, you can close your eyes and you can sleep. Or those that might work at night, they use those curtains, right? They black out everything or spray paint or do whatever it is. You know, get a bedroom without any windows in it so they can have total darkness so they can sleep better. Number two, you can remain in darkness so long that your eyes are damaged. First person I think of is these guys that get stuck in the mines for a while, and they say if you're in the darkness for too long, your eyes can actually deteriorate. And number three, you can be born blind or be blinded by a disease or have your eyes poked out, kind of like Samson did. So point number one is as you can sleep. So let's turn that spiritually. How can we sleep? I mean, how is it possible to sleep spiritually? Well, as Christians, we need to stay on our toes because we're told over and over again to watch out, to be on our guard. When you're in a war, right? When you're in a war, you post guards. What's the number one thing the guard's supposed to do? Stay awake. Keep your eyes open. That's the number one thing, is that you're in charge of keeping everyone else safe. So be on your guard. In Revelation chapter 3, John tells the church at Sardis, wake up. You guys wake up. You're sleeping. You're slumbering. You're not paying attention to what's going on. So we need to be alert because Satan is waging a war against us spiritually. And so Paul, Peter, Jesus said, hey, you guys need to wake up. You need to keep your eyes open because Satan's waging a war against you, and you need to post guards, and we need to be alert for one another, and we need to be taking care of one another so that we can see more clearly and be safe. Look what he writes in 1 Thessalonians. If you got there, we're in verses 4 through 6. Paul says this, but you brothers and sisters are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober, alert. You know, we say the word awake, but it's really alert. Let's be paying attention to what's going on around us. Now, I quoted this last week in last week's lesson, but Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Remember we talked about the Greek word last week, kairos? This word opportunity. Here's this word again. It's time, right? Opportunity, a segment of time. And do this, understanding the present kairos, understanding this time, this allotted measure of time that we have. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Remember I said the Living Bible said time's running out. I mean, we're closer to the judgment than we've ever been. From the beginning of this lesson to now, time, we're closer. We're closer. I like this. Paul says, the night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So Paul's reminding them, hey, you know what? You're closer to judgment. We're closer to the day of light. There is no darkness in heaven. There's always light. Why? Because Revelation says that when God's there, there's always light. Remember, we mentioned that one time before, and on the first day, God made light. But it's the fourth day, made the sun and the moon and the stars, the things that make the light. But the light was there because Jesus was there, because God was there. They're the light. And Revelation teaches that same exact thing, that there won't be a need for a sun and a moon and a stars. There won't be a need for any kind of darkness. There won't be night there. It'll only be day, and it'll only be light. So we need to wake up and realize that we need to have 20/20 vision, right, this year. Clearly see that the eternity is coming. Point number two, we can remain in darkness too long. Again, miners, workers that work underground, they get put into situations sometimes where they get stuck down there for weeks at a time. When they come out like this, right? Hey! They come out and they go, oh, you know, because they're blinded by the light. And everybody knows Manfred Mann's Earth Band sings Blinded by the Light, right? You guys like that song? Trivia, who wrote that song? Kelly Riggs? Bruce Springsteen. Trivia answer. Ding, ding, ding. You win a free. It's there you go. Whatever that is. You just make it up and enjoy. Bruce Springsteen wrote that song. Now, I think it's an appropriate title, because have you ever actually... Oh, don't put it up yet. You're stealing my thunder. Have you ever, I know. Nobody knows it. You're exactly right. Have you ever sang that song? It's like Blinded by the Light. Okay, now you can put it up there. Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, right? Little deuce coupe. It's a car. Another runner in the night. And so here's the words to this song. I don't know if you ever tried to sing it. It's just hilarious to me. Madman, drummers, bummers, Indians in the summer with a teenage diplomat. In the dumps with the mumps as the adolescent pumps his way into his hat. Feeling kind of older. I skipped a little part. I tripped the merry-go-round with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing. The calliope crashed to the ground. Beautiful words. Blinded by the song lyrics. I was like, no wonder it's called Blinded by the Light. Nobody knows what it is. It's just blinding, you know, to see all the different words. Now, I read a little bit about it, and there's some reasoning behind part of it, but it doesn't make sense to me at all. But I had to say that. We're blinded by the light. Or some people are blinded by the light, right? When they stay in darkness too long, the light actually blinds them. It gives them problems. They can sometimes get stuck in sin and have a hard time getting out of it. They can't see clearly. All of a sudden, what they're doing doesn't really affect their family. Oh, what they're doing doesn't really affect anybody around them. Oh, it doesn't really matter. And suddenly, the darkness creeps in. And perhaps some of us have been in that exact place. John writes a kind of a similar message about hatred. 1 John 2:11. He says, "But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them." So, wait a minute, Mike. You just said you're blinded by the light, but you're also blinded by the darkness. And then when the light is shined upon you, you have to close your eyes because you've been in the darkness so long. And sometimes you turn a blind eye to that which is important. Jesus said he was the light of the world, yet the religious leaders of the day didn't recognize him. How many times did Jesus say, you don't recognize me? How do you not know who I am? Thomas, at one point in time in John 14, says, "Show us the Father, Jesus, and we'll be satisfied." He's like, I'm the Father. I'm God. I'm the light of the world. Do you understand? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, all of these things are important for us to understand. But the reality is that he told his followers time and time again, "Hey, y'all be careful who you follow. Because blind men lead other blind men into the ditch. They'll lead them into the pit. So you need to pick who you follow very carefully. And you need to be very careful that those who are your religious leaders who are blind may cause you to be blind as well, because you're following them with your eyes shut. So sin can blind us so that we need the light to guide us. And then point number three, we can be blinded by an outside force. There's plenty of folks, tragically, sometimes military, roadside bombs have caused blindness. There have been some who've lost an eye due to an accident. Sometimes you're born that way. Sometimes disease deteriorates the eyes. There's different ways to be blinded. But Paul tells us not only who can blind us spiritually, but he also tells us how we can see when we're blinded by the light. Appreciate Randy reading this passage for us a little while ago, but 2 Corinthians 4, 4-6. It's a powerful passage. I appreciate his words as well. "The God of this age," the God of this age, Paul writes, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers." And that's two little words in front of that word, believers, unbelievers. "So they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, it's Jesus Christ as Lord." Why does he say that? Because he doesn't want them to think that he's the light. He's like, look, it's not about me, Paul says. It's not about Peter, and it's not about Apollos. Remember, the whole book of Corinthians, as well as 2 Corinthians, is about them following after factions instead of following Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. So over and over again, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's going to say, quit paying attention to me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. So he says, what we preach is not us. It's not about Paul, Apollos. It's not about John. It's not about any of the apostles. But Jesus Christ as Lord, who sacrificed for us, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. See, I believe with all my heart, that's why Jesus says, you're now the light of the world. You're going to be the only light that people see sometimes in this world. We say that all the time here. You may be the only Jesus somebody sees today. So be Jesus. I mean, we're the lights of the world. And we don't get the glory, just like Paul's not wanting the glory. You know, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may give glory to the Father." Right? We don't hide a light under a bushel. No, we put it where everyone can see it. And so we need to be displaying that light. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 as a reminder as well. "Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you," us, "to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the" what? Say it with me. Kingdom of light. Right? We're in a kingdom of light. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and who we have forgiveness of sins." That's an incredible thing to think about, that we were transferred, that we were moved from one kingdom to the next. One is darkness, one is light. You know, I asked the question earlier, what did Samson see when he was blind? What did Paul see when he was blind? What did the centurion at the cross see when he was blind? Answer with me. What do you think? What did they see? The light. They saw the light. The light is displayed in so many different ways. I mean, Jesus is the light of the world, obviously. But in that darkness, there's moments for everyone when suddenly, you know, what do we use when we have this incredible idea? Light bulb. I suddenly see the light. I got the answer. I figured it out. That's their moments. Those are their aha moments. And now it's kind of our job to declare light to all. As I just said, being Jesus for a lost world, for a dark world, is extremely important. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. You guys know it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I use it all the time for lots of different reasons. But he says, Peter, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because we have the light. Because Jesus died. Because of that dark moment in his life when he faced death for 3 days. Now we have the light. How incredible would it have been to have been standing at the tomb when the stone rolled away and watch Jesus walk out? I mean, did he go, whoa? I don't think he did. Because he was the light. He understood what it meant to embrace the light. To understand the light in the fullest realm of what light is. I mean, he could see everything that mankind could not see because he was the light. And so he tells us, hey, I want you guys to see from my eyes. I want you guys to feel from my heart. I want you guys to serve with my hands. I want you guys to take the gospel to people with your feet. But they're my feet because I'm the light. And just tell them about me. And help them to understand how important the light is. I love this quote from Helen Keller. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. Isn't that what 2020 is about? It's having this vision that there's more than just this world. What a tough time to live in. Every time you turn around, something else is happening. You know, between Iraq and Iran and all this stuff overseas, but there's plenty of things going on here. Just darkness and people having a hard time seeing. So we need to be that light for them. So let's practice being the lights of the world, especially this week. Practice it today, maybe tomorrow.